Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And we are indeed mobile in Chicago. We welcome you to Chicago, where Penn State plays basketball tomorrow with Northwestern here at Rosemont, which is right next to O'Hare International Airport. Flew in late this morning, got here early this afternoon, and it's great to be with you. There'll be another change on the Penn State football coaching staff with Josh Gattis leaving his wide receiver job at Penn State to take the job as the wide receiver coach and co-offensive coordinator with Mike Locksley down at Alabama and working for Nick Saban. So that is the big news of the day, and that's where we are. We're going to do picks today. We're looking forward to that. Tom Brady did go to his press conference today, and he wore gloves. How hurt is that hand? He hasn't practiced for the last couple of days. We'll see. I think we'll know for sure if we look out there and we see a 12 or a 2. If we see a 2, it's Brian Hoyer. Now the game changes. Don't know. It is a mystery going in. He is listed on the injury list. And he's almost always listed on the injury list. So what's the difference? Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. And, of course, the pickle bar is indeed second to none. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day, and the pickle bar is indeed second to none, led by the barrels and the dills. My brother's going to get a batch of them coming up. We go for high stakes on this show. We went for the pickle bar. And the standings show that you and I have no chance.
It's already been clinched.
No chance.
Yeah.
Now, people have asked, what did the suit get for winning the bowl for the fourth straight year? And he got exactly what he got the three previous years.
Respect from us. That's about it. You'll have to wrap that up in a bow.
Huh? What are you talking about? What? You can't rephrase.
Pat on the back. Job well done. That was about it.
Okay, let's think this through again. That is adorable. He won. All right, let's think about all the care you and I put into our picks. All right, we're doing picks. I'm like, I'm doing like 1,000 games in 900 days. I'm like, sure. Middle Tennessee State looks good. I mean, I think I picked it by uniform color. You're like, our respect? For what? Throwing darts better?
Yes.
All right, so I have no idea where they're going to go with the Josh Gattis thing. Now that Josh is going to go and take the Alabama job. But it's one thing you do know about James Franklin is James Franklin does a brilliant job over the years of always keeping a running list of each position of people he is connected to and that he knows and that he trusts along the way. Now he's going to go through the list. I mean, he was talking at down at the coaches convention, and he was part of a panel, and he was saying, look, I don't really want to look at your resume. He said, I don't want to look at your resume. You know, this all comes down to who knows who. And I completely agree with that. Completely agree with that. And the reason I completely agree with that is that I'm now at the stage in my career where I won't recommend anybody I don't know at all. In other words, if there's somebody that wants to get a hold of me or vice versa, it's all going to be about who I know and who I don't know. I don't know you. I really don't care if you've got 20,000 things on there that tell me you're awesome and incredible. I'm going to go with the person I know. You know, that I've developed a trust with over time. You know, she or he, whomever. I mean, take this show, for example. You know, I really, you know, when we started out, you were doing other things. All right? You were doing other parts of the station.
Mm-hmm.
I really wanted, with all kidding aside, I mean, I kid about Kevin all the time. You know, but that's all just in the fun of the show, as I've pointed out 1,000 times. I hope people understand that. You know, the suit's almost like a character. That's a caricature. But I really wanted Kevin to initially produce the show. Why was that? Because it's somebody I knew and I trusted and already had a rock-solid relationship with and already had a lot of respect for. All right. So then when Kevin made the decision, and it was Kev's decision to, hey, look, you know, I think long-term my financial security is in doing digital media. I think it's a fair way of phrasing what Kev did, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right. Now, who do we have? Well, who's the next person in there that I had a really strong relationship with that I knew would be great for the job because of my own gut feeling was you. You know? And that's how it works. If I want to know something about somebody and they happen to know Jack Ham, I'm going to talk to Jack or Dick Girardi or, you know, or I'll talk to Roger, whatever. You know, I'm talking about Roger Haddon. I mean, I'll talk to them. I mean, what do you think of this person? If I don't really know them, what do you think of them? You know, and that's how the connection's made. That's what, now back to James Franklin. That's how he ends up hiring people. He, somewhere along the line, has crossed paths with them at on a staff or at a coach's convention, and they get to talking about a certain guy. And guess what? You know, you really like the, you know. And so that's how he's going to go about it. You know, you can then sit there and my resume says this. Yeah, okay. Well, I'll look at it and I would say, okay, where's the name? Whoa, wait a minute. I know that name. All right. When we were out in Arizona, they were talking about the analyst for the Hockey Network. They needed an analyst for the Hockey Network. They said, hey, what do you think? Well, I recommended somebody like that. All right. They said, anybody in your class that you would put a lot of confidence in. And it took me 5 seconds and I recommended him. I mean, that's how it works. Where you go to people that you trust along the way, you've built a relationship along the way, and it makes a big difference. And that's why that's how he's going to do this. He'll hire this. And he's already got a running list of 5 guys in there along the way that he wants to turn to and say, hey, look, let's go through this. Let's talk. Let's see who's the best fit again. Let's sit down and talk. Let's go face to face. You know, what kind of working relationship and so forth. You know, can we work? Can you work with the rest of the staff? What does the rest of the staff think of you? Because look, camaraderie in the staff room is really important, and it doesn't mean every second is going to be roses in there. Well, you want to have a respect where you go in. And you can hash things out, and then the second the decision's made, everybody goes, okay, that's the decision. Let's go make it happen. That's what you want to have. And sometimes it is all roses in there, but other times you get challenged. And sometimes you get challenged deliberately because whomever's in charge wants to see what your conviction is when it comes to that. All they're trying to do is see what your conviction. They're not disagreeing with you, and you've got to be smart enough to understand that if you're confident in something, and you stand up to it, it's going to work for you. Because sometimes you are tested by somebody in charge to say, okay, you know, they'll challenge you on point A, B, and C. And if you have answers for A, B, and C, guess what? They just want to make sure that your back and your gut, your backbone's into it. And so that's why you sit down and you go through an interview process like that. And I thought he laid it out really well down at the coaches' convention about that when he was discussing why how he hires a grad assistant. I mean, grad assistant, everybody. Because everybody in the organization has to fit a part in a role. Now he's going to find a wide receiver coach. And I wouldn't be surprised that in a week to 10 days we're talking about a new name on there. That's, you know, Josh has a great opportunity at Alabama. He took it. Okay. Well, who's the next person in? They'll find somebody. And I think the way he has hired in the past, I'm going to take Brent Pry, move him up to defensive coordinator. Okay. I'm going to bring in somebody the quality of Tim Banks, quality as a man, quality as a coach. Quality is a mind. He brought in Tim Banks doesn't get talked often enough about. I'm going to make a move. I need to get an offensive line coach. He brings in somebody, the same thing, the quality of a Matt Linegrover, quality of a coach, quality of a man, quality of a mind that he brings in there. So his hiring has shown us over time what he's made of. I mean, hiring Joe Moorhead, moving up Ricky Ronnie. I mean, his hiring, you can see that he knows what he's doing when it comes to moments like these. That's why I think that you have everybody out there is pretty confident and should be that he's going to, quote, go out and find the right person for this job. And it's a good time to come in and be a wide receiver coach at Penn State. You got Juwan Johnson. You got DeAndre Tompkins. You got Mac Hippenhammer. You got KJ Hamler. You got Justin Shorter coming in. I mean, you know, Josh Doctson coming in. You got some big time talent that whoever's coming in, they're going to be able to work with. That's you talk about the right time to be taking a job at Penn State as a wide receiver coach. It's a pretty good time to do it because that's a pretty good room you're walking into. It's a really good room you're walking into. So, with him reportedly taking that job, door open. Yeah, you go out, now you're going to hire somebody else. And again, they're walking into a situation that is really great in that room. Really great.
Yeah, big credit to Coach Gattis for all the hard work that he also did on the recruiting trail. So what the timing is great for the great time for the first year for that early signing period to kick in before he left to join Nick.
Yeah. So, and Mike Locksley, I think, is the guy. Locksley had been the wide receiver coach down there. And now he is moving up to the OC job at Alabama. So, that's where you are with that. But again, when you look at between Daniel George, Dan Dotson, Justin Shorter, all coming in with the guys that are already there. KJ Hamler, Mac Hippenhammer, Juwan Johnson, DeAndre Tompkins. I mean, you got a pretty good group there that you're stepping into. So it's quite a room to walk into and say, you know what? I like what I see in this room. So it's, you know, good spot to be. Even though they've lost a couple of guys along the way, I mean, losing a Deshaun Hamilton, obviously is somebody in a Saeed Blacknall. Okay, you know, you lose a couple of guys like that. There's, you know, I mean, you have to replace people anyway. It's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. You're always going to have people to replace. By the way, Hamilton evidently is doing really well out at the East-West Shrine game. They're playing that game this weekend, by the way. And supposedly Hamilton's had a really good week of practice. Because, you know, you can watch the game, you get excited about the game. But as much as you get excited about the game, the practices probably mean more, and probably the interview process means a little bit more, too. Now, you want to see how somebody performs in the game. I mean, don't get me wrong, you do want to see that. But as much as you do want to see that, you know, they get an opportunity to see guys firsthand. And by the way, I want to leave out Brandon Polk, too, because Brandon Polk's still a very important guy that is part of that receiver group, too. Can't leave out Trace McSorley's high school teammate. I don't think we can do that, right? All right, we'll take a break. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Brewers Outlet. Yes, imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar is indeed second to none. Anything that's led by the barrels and the dills has to be second to none. And, of course, we're in the Sunbury Motors studio in Chicago today. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Stock up for the big weekend, the NFC and AFC championship games. A lot of Eagle fans out there. You want to make sure you're fully stocked for the weekend. Maybe get some people over for your championship game party. Maybe you're going to one. Make sure you're fully stocked with Brewers Outlet. Imports, domestics, microbrews, water, wine coolers, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day, and the pickle bar, indeed, second to none, led by the barrels and the dills. All at Brewers Outlet. Well, Ed Bouchette, an interesting story about your guy Le'Veon Bell today. Did you read this?
Did not read that. I found a different Steeler story we can kick around later. But how about Eddie Boo, the dean of Steelers beat writers?
Well, Le'Veon Bell, team guy, not happy with his contract. Okay.
Yeah, I think we learned that about what, this time last Friday, give or take an hour.
Right. Well, let me put it to you this way, when it comes to what Mike Tomlin wants, and he's got to do a better job of reinforcing this if that's what he wants. But you can't let people just continue to get away with stuff. Tomlin wants his players and coaches, what Ed Bouchette wrote, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Tomlin wants his players and coaches to report to the locker room 2 hours before kickoff for games. That was continually ignored by both players and a coach or two. Not only did Bell arrive much later than that for the playoff game against Jacksonville, as well as one coach, he also missed almost all of the Saturday walkthrough the day before, showing up about 5 minutes before the practice ended. Really? Maybe he was out there getting Patriots tickets so he could bring his friends. Now he can sit with them. All right. How about that?
We're probably working on more rap music. That just drives me up the wall. I mean, why not? We've had so much drama with this club this year. What's another story? That's just It just drives me up a wall.
For some odd reason, as you get older, you feel like, you know, along the way, maturity kicks in and responsibility kicks in. And you know, if I'm ever late for something, I mean, at all, if I'm ever late for anything, I'm embarrassed. Okay, now there are times, for example, like I know I've spoken in Harrisburg, and you know you're supposed to be there at 6 o'clock or whatever, I'm supposed to be there at 6:30. But I do let them know, guys. Remember, I'm on the air till 5 o'clock. I can't leave to go to Harrisburg until 5:01. So you let everybody at least know ahead of time, because there've been a couple times I've gone to like the Harrisburg event in August, and a couple fans, hey, you're kind of late, aren't you? I said, I'm on the air till 5 o'clock. I said, I own a car, not a jet. because the people in charge know ahead of time, hey, look, guys, just remember, I'm on till 5. I can't be there till 6:30. But I don't want people sitting in a room waiting for me. That really bothers me. Really bothers me. And, we had Jordan Hill on the show, about a year and a half ago?
Mm-hmm.
We had Jordan Hill on. And he was talking about his first meeting with the Seattle Seahawks, and he goes and he sits in the room, and he's 15 minutes ahead of time, and 30 seconds after he walked in, the second guy walked in. It was Michael Robinson. They were the only two sitting there until everybody else showed up when the meeting started, because Joe Paterno said, hey, look, you got to be 15 minutes early for everything. Jonathan Salazar, the Penn State basketball trainer, was taking his mother to church on Christmas. Saz told me this story about a week ago. They get in the car, and whatever, let's just say it's a 4 o'clock mass, okay, on Christmas Eve. And he gets in the car at what is 3:15 in the afternoon to drive her over. But the car clock says 3:30. And she looks over at him and she says, 3:30, you're still on Joe Paterno time. He says, yes, that's why I'm always on time. Now, those are things that are taught in a home. Those are elements that are taught by really great college coaches. I mean, do you think people are late for Nick Saban meetings? I can tell you right now, they aren't late for James Franklin meetings. James Franklin says you start meeting starts at 3:45. You darn well better be in your seat between 3:35 and 3:40, because at 3:44 he's walking in there. You're not going to be late. And believe me, it pays off in life down the line. And just because you got to, if Mike Tomlin has a walkthrough scheduled for Saturday. Okay, forget that it's a playoff game. I don't care if you're playing the Cleveland Browns. As a professional, you need to be there. Why? Because everybody else is expected to be there. What, do you pick and choose your spots when to show up? That's why, people get on Belichick's case all the time about, hey, practice tomorrow, 10:30. You're there at 10:35. Don't bother coming in. People get on Belichick's case all the time about that, and you have no idea how wrong you are. None. Zero. I mean, okay? If everybody else is expected to be there at 10:30, you're expected, and I know there's circumstances that come into play. There's an accident on the highway, things like that. Okay, obviously, in the world of life, things happen. But if you left the house too late, that's your fault. And this guy did not care enough at all to be on time to do his job. There was no other place he needed to be. And yet he showed up the walkthrough. And you're like, well, it's only a walkthrough. Again, another wrong attitude if that's what you're thinking. If you're driving in that car, you think, well, it's only a walkthrough. All right? I've been to a lot of walkthroughs. You have no idea what goes on in a walkthrough. Okay? No idea. Let me put it this way. Say, for example, they need to have the return team out there for a safety, after a safety. Now, the return team for safety sometimes is different personnel compared to a return team at a kickoff or a punt, right? They have a specialized team for that. Well, the walkthrough just reinforces who's supposed to be out there. Bell's on certain teams. He'd be on the hands team. He'd be on the ball team, right? You'll do some of your little script work with the offense during the walkthrough. Okay, so just because it's labeled a walkthrough, do not take the, oh, well, it was only a walkthrough. There's no such thing as only, okay? Because guess what? They don't have anything else to do. They don't have to go to class. They don't have other jobs. Their job is to be a professional football player. They tell you to show up for a while. Let's pick a time. 10 a.m., you're there and ready to go. Don't get it. I don't get it. You take an, obviously, there is a physical pounding that takes place in football. There's no doubt. But it's also, there's, you know, and it's awfully hard to do. Really hard to do. But how many of you fans out there would like, oh, I'd love to be in Le'Veon Bell's shoes? And remember that when he took the franchise tag, he got the paltry sum of $12.1 million. Okay? They didn't give him minimum wage. They didn't give him $15 an hour. They gave him $12.1 million. Now, performance-wise, has he earned his money? Yes, performance-wise, he absolutely earned his money. He gives great effort, great performance, and so forth. But doing that, not what you wanted to hear for a playoff game, is it there, Sean?
Absolutely not. And if they decide to tag him for a second straight year, this one will be well over $14
million. All right, now Tom Brady at his press conference today and wore gloves. They asked him about his hand. He said, I'm not talking about it. How's the hand feel? I'm not talking about it. Will you play in the game? We'll see. What caused the injury? I don't want to talk about it. Asked about wearing gloves to a press conference. I've worn them before, which he actually has before, by the way. So that was not a, not this year, but in other years he's done that before. Press conference that lasted 4 minutes, done, gone.
I guess we'll find out about 3-ish on Sunday how bad that hand injury is. Just have to wait and see.
Well, if you're wondering about what Vegas thinks,
but they're being very, very tight-lipped about it.
Patriots were 9, okay? Now they're 7.5.
Oh, going down a little bit.
Yeah. The Brian Hoyer effect. We'll come back.
He appreciates that.
We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sometimes the truth hurts. The first 2 weeks of January with sub-zero temperatures put a hurting on Sunbury Motor sales.
Well, bundle up and save
while SMC delivers the biggest discounts imaginable. Sunbury Motors Ford wants to see you in a brand new Escape or F-150. Save up to $8,000 on new Escapes
starting at $20,825.
Or take up to $14,500 off a new Ford F-150
starting at $25,969.
Sunbury Motors Kia doesn't want you to pay a dime in interest for your new Kia. Finance a new Sorento, Sportage, Optima, or Forte for 0% for 75 months.
No one has 0% for 75 months but Kia.
Sunbury Motors Hyundai wants you with America's best warranty.
10 years, 100,000 miles.
Plus, you can save up to $3,807 on a new Santa Fe and $3,112 on a new Hyundai Tucson.
Bundle up and save
at Sunbury Motors Ford, Kia, or Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, always sponsors us on Friday. Glad they do, because what a great organization. I mean, look, you've got a, you know, you might have some parties this weekend. You just may want to just kick back in your own. You want to be fully stocked. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. The bags are right there at the register. Pickle Bar is indeed second to none, led by the barrels and the dills, all at Brewer's Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And I am in the Sunbury Motor Studio in Chicago today. Penn State gets ready to play Northwestern tomorrow. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right. There are a couple things I talked about yesterday. And I mentioned in the NCAA, they're, you know, basketball's all set. They're going to take the basketball season's going to start next year on Tuesday the 6th, as opposed to the second Friday of the year. And I think it was the second Friday this year would have been November 9th, I think. So that's why it's going to be November 6th. Now, we always look at everything in a, you know, I tend to look at a lot of things, obviously, in college, in a Penn State context, obviously. But I was thinking about it later, and I said, look, well, hold on a second. Let's talk about this in a Bucknell context for a moment. Because I think that this move to the 6th on a Tuesday, many conferences do not end their season with their tournaments the second week of March, like most Power Fives do, including the Big Ten. Now, it turns out that this year, the Big Ten's moved up a week because they're playing in Madison Square Garden. Well, that's also given me an insight as to what Bucknell, for example, has to deal with every year. Bucknell has to get its tournament going earlier, tournament champions crowned earlier. That also means they have to get 31 games put into play between the second Friday of November and by the end of February. They've got to get it done. Well, this move just, it's only 3 days, but 3 days gives you a chance to schedule a game to start on the 6th and then maybe play on the 9th of Friday. Now you get two games in. Now, that one additional game, that one additional date that's available can give a little more spacing between games instead of such a compressed schedule, which Bucknell fans know that your team has had to play for years and years and years. So this is, you know, while we look at things at times in a Power 5 context, basketball has 351 schools playing basketball, Division One. It's not like wrestling that has 75. There's 351 schools playing Division One basketball. So you've got to, you know, you got to think of everybody along the way, not just the 65 power schools, Power Five schools. You got to look at the other 290 or so schools that, you know, that aren't in the Power Five, mid-majors all the way down to low mid-majors to whatever, and realize what their issues are in order to make sure that everybody gets the spacing to do it. So I thought that rule, very simple move, but the right move. The red shirt rule for football that they are looking into, nothing's been passed yet. The way I read it, I don't know if you've read it, Sean, but the way I read the proposal is that you can play up to four games and still maintain that eligibility. Now, most people think of it in the context of being a freshman, all right? I mean, you could play for 2 years and then all of a sudden redshirt your junior year and you still have 2 years of eligibility remaining. But let's think of it in terms of a freshman. Normally, you'd think that it would be the first four games, which means you could play the first four games, including in the Big Ten A conference game, and still maintain freshman eligibility. But that's not the way I'm reading the rule. It looks to me like what they're looking at is that you could play game two, game four, game nine, and the bowl game. That's four games, and guess what? I mean, you can play all of them. I mean, the full bowl game, and you still would maintain freshman eligibility.
So four scattered out throughout the season, not four that would limit you to just play only in September.
Yeah. I mean, that's the way I'm reading it.
That seems like it'd be a little more harder to follow. You know, you'd have to go through a vetting process to check out, okay, we got to look and see exactly what games did this player play in. That could be a little tougher to police, wouldn't it?
Right.
I mean, at least from the naked eye at first look.
Well, it's a lot tougher to police, and I'll give you a good example. Most of the time, when you look at a participation chart, there are mistakes all over the participation chart. And then part of the reason is mistakes happen because of duplicate numbers. Right? So the participation chart, people are, I'm telling you right now, right? How many times have I had a couple of, Sean Clifford played in a game this year. No, he didn't play in a game this year. Okay. Right. You've heard, how many times have we been asked on the show over a couple of years about a freshman playing in a game, and I've maintained the freshman did not play in the game?
Quite a bit.
Yeah, and because the freshman didn't play in the game. Okay, but on the chart, he shows up on the participation chart. So the fan that asked the question is asking a legitimate question because they can go online, they can find it. So you're right, policing this is a very difficult, because that is a third of the season. You know, suddenly you play game one, game two, and all of a sudden, hey, he shows up in game eight, because we needed him in game eight. Okay, then he disappears until the ball game, and then he shows up in the ball game. Now, what about you go to the national championship game, and you've recruited somebody? Are they part of your roster at that point, because school has started? You see what I mean? Are you eligible to play? Like, for example, Alabama starts classes the Tuesday after New Year's. Well, if they're playing in the national championship game on January 8th like they did, would that freshman be eligible to play in the game? I just say, these are just questions I have. Nothing has been passed, but it certainly is interesting. Now we'll get to the big one, and that is the transfer rule that they're looking at in June. That, to me, is the biggie of all of them. I've got some definite thoughts on that and definite questions on that. Picks in the final half hour. Sean, myself, and the King.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.